Hallelujah, hallelujah, Yeshua. Brethren, we obviously have to talk a little bit more about the subject of, can Christians have demons? In Matthew 12:43, we see how a non-Christian is delivered. And in Matthew 15:22, we see that healing, or the casting out of demons, is actually the children's bread. We see a believer, a man in the synagogue, has a demon cast out. We see devils cast out in the synagogues. We see again in Mark 7 that healing is the children's bread. We see how Jesus called Simon Peter Satan. He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," in Mark chapter 8. We see a believer's son have a devil cast out. We see Jesus casting a spirit of fever, which is a demon, out of Peter's mother-in-law. We see a non-Christian delivered in Luke 11. We see a daughter of Abraham, which is a believer, cast out in Luke 13. We see how Satan entered into Judas. We see that Ananias and Sapphira were believers. They had demons in them, lied to the Holy Ghost, and were killed for that sin. Brethren, the evidence is overwhelming. We see that sickness is an oppression of Satan in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We see believers in Corinth being delivered over to Satan. Yeah, believer. 1 Corinthians 5, first five verses. We see Satan get an advantage over a believer in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. We see believers receiving another spirit in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. The scripture is so explicit that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a demon, and there is no other possibility. I mean, people think other things. They're exalting their vain imaginations against the knowledge of God. The scripture is absolutely explicit on that. We see the Galatians were bewitched by spirits. We see the influence of Satan in Ephesians chapter 2, first three verses. We see how anger gives place to the devil in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. We see that Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were delivered over. They were believers. We see believers depart from the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 4, first couple of verses. We see how that believers have to be recovered out of the snare of the devil. It's a profoundly important section of scripture in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. The root of bitterness is a spirit, Hebrews 12. James tells us to resist the devil. Who's he talking to? 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about afflictions in the devil. So, can Christians have demons? Is just simply not found that often in the Bible. What word we do find used frequently in the Bible is believer. And the question about can believers have demons is unequivocal. Are you a believer? What's the difference between a believer and a Christian? The answer, obviously, is none. There's no difference. If you're a believer, you're a Christian. And there were multitudes that came to the Lord Jesus Christ for deliverance. So, brethren, there's only one thing that can set any of us free from anything. Now, if you want to stay in bondage to demons, just deny the possibility that a Christian can have demons. That keeps you in bondage. And you should not be in bondage to demons. Now, there's an unnecessary fear of demons that Satan does everything that he can to try and build. That's all Satan really has to work with. He is a defeated foe. All he has to work with is fear, ignorance, and deception. Now, the question is, how can a demon indwell the same body at the same time as the Holy Spirit does? Well, that is obvious. The Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in our spirit, and that is sealed till the day of redemption. But just as the temple that was built in the wilderness, and the temple that was built on Temple Mount. It had three important distinctions about it. It had the most holy place, where the Spirit of God was found in residence, where the mercy seat was, the place behind the veil that only the high priest could go into on Yom Kippur. Then you had the holy place, where the altar was. Then you had the outer court, and anything could go on in the outer court. And the parallel with the temple today of our bodies is very much the same. We have the most holy place, which is our spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence. And we have the holy place, which is the mind, and brethren, or the soul. And the soul is where the battle takes place, in the mind. The battlefield is the mind. And just like the holy place in the temple is where the business was done at the altar, the Holy Spirit will come out and help us do battle in the mind, or the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions. And then you have the flesh. And brethren, I need to tell you, if it makes the flesh feel good, it's not the Holy Ghost. No, that's not where you find the Holy Ghost. You don't find the Holy Spirit out in the outer court in the flesh. And yes, that's where you're going to most likely find the demons, is in the flesh and also in the mind. But the Holy Spirit will help us in that battlefield in the mind. And we need to bring the mind. We need to be victorious in the mind. And then we can get the flesh shaped up. But it's just a travesty. It is so sad what's being taught today to keep Christians in bondage. There are so many false teachings perpetuated by the very erroneous and unscriptural position that believers cannot have demons. And here's some of the things that happen when you take such a wrong, erroneous position. The old sin nature becomes the whipping boy and the middle ground between God and the demons. And all the problems are taught to be due to some sort of lack of surrender. People are left open to be snared into cults by different angels of light. And all the inherited characteristics are thought to be unchangeable. God can fix anything. Personality quirks and characteristics are thought to be unchangeable. People live with these problems their whole life instead of getting the demons cast out, taking the ground back, getting the demons cast out. It makes people unable to break the bondage of another person's will. Brethren, I'm going to give you the truth that legal ground is given to demons. Yeah, they actually get legal ground to stay in a person whenever that person sits under the false teaching that denies Christians can have demons. You're going to be bound. You're actually giving legal ground when you sit under the ministry and under the authority of somebody that teaches you that you cannot have a demon because you've been born again or baptized with the Holy Ghost. You literally give legal ground to stay in that bondage when you sit under that kind of false teaching. You say, oh, Jim, that's strong. Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to lie to you? You want to stay in that bondage? Brethren, this is war. And you need to get out from under that bondage. But you literally give legal ground for demons to stay in you when you sit under teaching that denies Christians can have demons. Demonic lies about oppression and possession are perpetuated. Nothing's done about it. And there can't be anything done about it until you acknowledge the truth. You've got to receive the truth and acknowledge the truth. And the scriptures are abundantly clear on this. Poor old Paul, Apostle Paul, carried a demon throughout his whole ministry so that we'd know better than this foolishness. Especially in this time when we're going to have to deal with them more than any people that ever have. You find that what happens is the spiritual pride gets reinforced, and it keeps these leaders who are telling things that are not correct according to the scriptures, it keeps those leaders from re-examining their teaching and retracting their errors. And what happens is many people end up in despair and hopelessness, and they could be delivered, and they should be delivered. But brethren, they're not going to be delivered unless somebody will stand up with all holy boldness and tell them that they have to receive the truth and they have to acknowledge the truth, or they're not going to be delivered. So if I'm too strong, praise God. I wish I could be stronger about this thing, because it's about time that we set the captives free. And guess who the captives are? Yeah, the believers. Brethren, the greatest need in the church today is sound teaching on the whole Bible, without fear, without respect of persons, especially in the area of deliverance, for every Christian. Because the first sign that's supposed to follow those who believe is that in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, they should cast out devils. Brethren, you find I often give meekness tests because this is so essential. You're going to have meekness if you're going to go against the grain. And you will be going against the grain when you simply tell the truth, because Satan has been so successful in perpetuating this lie and this false doctrine that Christians can't have demons, that you're going to be going against the grain, so you're going to have meekness. And it really applies what Paul told Timothy in chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. In meekness, you got to have meekness, brethren. In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. These people oppose themselves by not acknowledging the truth. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Look, brethren, if you don't receive the truth, you stay in bondage. There's one and only one thing that'll set anybody free from any form of bondage, and that is to receive the truth. And if you won't receive the truth, and you will not acknowledge the truth, and the Word of God is abundantly clear on this, you will stay in your bondage. Now, when you go into the ministry of casting out demons, you are going to be challenged by the question, well, how is it possible for a born-again believer to have a demon? And especially this is true, gets into charismatic circles, especially oneness. That's the worst place of all, I think. You're going to get this all the time. Is it really possible for a believer who's baptized in the Spirit to have a demon? And the stock answer, absolutely not, they'll say. Oh, they'll shout, no, no way. How could anything be so ridiculous? And they'll try to shame you in their lie. They're so profoundly certain of their lie. And it's a lie, brethren. Right out of the pits of hell. It's Satan's favorite lie, maybe. They say, well, the Holy Spirit cannot coexist in the same body with a demon. Well, brethren, that is ignorance gone to seed is what it is. And actually, the answer to both questions, the answer is definitely, definitely, absolutely, unequivocally, yes. Almost 100% of the deliverance ministry that I've been involved in over the last 25 years has been among born-again believers, and most of them baptized in the Spirit, Christians also. And there's some arguments that they might put out to prove that born-again people can't have demons. And the most common thing that you hear is that Christians cannot be possessed. Well, what they're really doing is they don't know their terms. They don't have their terms straight. And I'll just give you a few of the typical arguments you're going to run into. The believer is inhabited by the Holy Spirit, and therefore the demons cannot coexist within the same body. And they'll usually go to 1 Corinthians 2:12 for support on that. But the verse doesn't say that. You see, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that he did, brethren. That's the good news. The war is over. Now, we've still got some occupation forces battles to fight, and some of them are going to be real bloody. But in the case of problems caused by demons, the remedy and the method for doing this is to cast out the demons in his name. Now, if people don't believe it's possible for them to have a demon, that in and of himself locks them in to keeping their demon, because they're giving legal ground by receiving that lie. And that ground has got to be taken back before that demon to be cast out. Otherwise, you go ahead and you cast it out, and what's going to happen? The demon's still got legal ground. He's going to go back in and make it worse than it ever was before. Brethren, the only way you can be set free, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You must acknowledge the truth. You got to receive the truth and acknowledge the truth, or you're going to stay in your bondage. Now, you're going to run into people that try and tell you that the struggle inside the believer is always revealed to be a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and not a struggle involving demons. But brethren, if that were the case, the conscientious claiming of the promises of God would solve every human problem, if that were the case. You see, the believer is delivered from the power of Satan and his demons. And that is absolutely true. But like many other promises, it's not automatic. So many people run the if stop signs. There's many things which are conditional, and we have to meet the basic fundamental condition of acknowledging the truth that the scriptures are abundantly clear that the demons find the Christians to be their high priority targets. They've already got the heathen. The high priority targets for the demons are the Christians. And it is only as we voluntarily and willingly meet God's conditions for deliverance that it can occur. And there's no way it's going to occur if people hold on and insist on their lie and their vain imaginations, which are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. The Christian is provided with complete protection from the fiery darts of the enemy, according to Ephesians 6, they'll tell you. Well, doesn't that rather overlook the obvious fact that the armor is designed for defense from the external and not the internal enemies? And even if that's not enough, how many believers go around with their armor always in place? Not that many, brethren. You know it and I know it. And in spite of these arguments, the fact remains that so many born-again Christians, including the leaders, and often they're the most difficult ones, are having difficulties and problems. And brethren, the fact is there is no solution until they will receive and acknowledge the truth. There is no solution to these apparent natural infirmities and this endless conflict between the so-called flesh and the spirit. No, it's demons. They need to get the demons cast out. It's no secret that many have become discouraged and filled with an awful despair. And it's just because this willing ignorance and failure to receive and acknowledge the truth. Now, brethren, we do not interpret the Bible by experience. Nevertheless, if the consistent experiences that we have run counter to some belief that we hold, if you're an honest seeker of truth, you ought to want to find out the reason. And we have to be willing to check what we've been taught and see if how we have been taught and the interpretations that we have are under the direction of the Holy Spirit, or we have swallowed some lie. And we have to be prepared to make the necessary corrections of our own beliefs, so that we can come into more fullness of agreement with the facts of the Word and the facts of our experience. There's no reason why the facts of our experience should be different than what the Word says they should be. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot argue anyone into believing that the fundamental stand that they take against the truth about Christians having demons is very much in error. You can't argue them out of it. People believe what they choose to believe, and that's a simple fact, brethren. I've seen people, you've shown them, there is no logical, normal thinking mind basis for which them going to stand and hold on to their lie, and they persist. They're going to hold on to their lie. And brethren, you can't argue them out of it. All you can do is do the duty to give them the truth. And that is our duty, to speak the truth in love. And if they choose not to receive the truth, if they continue to reject the truth, that's all you can do. You're not going to argue them out of it. But brethren, the facts of Scripture are abundantly clear that believers were definitely subjected to demonic attack. It's all through the Scriptures. The physical afflictions and other disasters of Job, we know they are Satan's work. Look at Job chapter 1 and 2. That really ought to prove it to anybody. Job was perhaps the most righteous man, the best, most solid believer in the whole earth. And look what Satan did to him. In the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit. A believer, yes. There was a woman that Jesus called a daughter of Abraham. Now, what does that mean? She was a daughter of the father of faithful people. A believer, yes. And she was bound with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. There is no reason to just arbitrarily, willy-nilly conclude that people, just because they're believers, can't have demons. There's nothing to support that in Scripture. Nothing. It's like the pre-trib rapture doctrine. Absolutely nothing in Scripture to support it, and yet everybody believes it. Brother, it's just a sign of the times. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, that whole section in there is so profound, it'd be worth trying to memorize it if you could. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 through 26, where Paul talks about the contention and disputing over doctrine. It's believers he's talking to. It's believers that he's helping Timothy to understand the situation. It's believers that are indicated and talked about who have evidently slipped and need to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Who's he talking about? He's talking about a church in which Timothy is ministering to believers who are taken captive of Satan at his will. There was a member in the church up there at Corinth that had been overwhelmed by a spirit of lust. And Jesus rebuked a spirit of fever in Peter's mother-in-law in Luke chapter 4. And he left her and she was well. And in Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 9, the whole gospel of Mark, you see it over and over again. Jesus uses that same term to rebuke Satan. And sickness is described as an oppression of the devil. And it's over in Acts too, Acts chapter 10. And Jesus often healed by removing spirits of infirmity. And I've always known that the majority, at least over half, of all physical illness was spirits of infirmity. And Dr. Lawrence, you heard him. He said it may be as much as 90%. Here's a medical doctor, a professional in the medical field, a good believer, good solid believer, saying it may be as much as 90%. They're spirits of infirmity, which is simply another method of satanic attack. Now, you want to be open to those attacks? Hold on to your ignorance. And Peter, think about it. One minute, he spoke with divine revelation, declaring that Jesus was the very Christ. And the next moment, Jesus had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God." And then there was Simon the magician, who definitely was presented as somebody that believed, and he definitely was baptized. They didn't baptize people that didn't believe. And he had evidently not been delivered from his occult bondage and was commanded to repent and pray. That's Acts chapter 8. And how did Satan manage to fill the heart of the believers, Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah, they were believers. And Peter said Satan managed to fill their heart. Acts chapter 5. And brethren, the most explicit scripture And Paul sought the Lord three times to be delivered from this thing, and the Word of God tells us what Paul's thorn in the flesh was so explicitly. There is no possibility for anyone to have a legitimate ground to think anything else. It could not be more explicit that Paul's thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. In the Greek, it's Angelos Satanas. Brethren, I don't know why, but we seem to see among believers almost a universal sense of fear and loathing toward this whole subject of Satan and evil spirits. Many believers have adopted this false idea that somehow if they can ignore Satan, that he'll ignore them. Now, what could be more dumb than that? You ignore Satan, he ain't going to ignore you. No way. You've got to be submitted to God so you can resist him. And if you're submitted to God and you resist him well enough, he'll go mess someplace else. Now, you want to go ahead and get beat up by Satan all the time? Just hold on to your lie. Just hold on to your ignorance. But scripturally, the position that believers cannot be attacked and actually have demons in them, scripturally, brethren, it is an indefensible position. It's every bit as indefensible as pre-trib La La Land. It is La La Land, and there's just no other way to say it. Brethren, if a Christians have some sort of get out of jail free card regarding demons, then how come Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world? Who's he talking about? You think Peter isn't talking to believers there? Brethren, if Christians have a get-out-of-jail-free card regarding demons, then how come James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you? Brethren, if Christians have a get-out-of-jail-free card regarding demons, how come Paul says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices? It is so explicit from the Word of God that Paul had a demon in his flesh for his whole ministry, and those who say otherwise are exalting themselves against the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Angelos Satanas in the Greek, Paul's thorn in the flesh, was the messenger of Satan, a demon. When the power of God begins to move in a person's life, he quite naturally becomes an object for Satan's, devil's, most crippling attacks. You don't get a get-out-of-jail-free card, you become a high-priority target for the demons. And unreasonable fear of demons is fostered and promoted by Satan and his demonic host directly. And unfortunately today, in this time of strong delusion, in this great falling away from the faith, it's also promoted by ministers who are willingly ignorant, who do not know the truth of the Word of God, who never have had a demon cast out of them and have never cast a demon out of anybody else. And here they stand in the pulpits when Jesus said the first sign that follows a believer, the brand new child of God, ought to exercise the authority that he has to cast out devils in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. And it is always a blessing to receive truth, to see truth, to seek truth, and not just mere thoughts. If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. And brethren, something we better know is, yes, the Christians don't have a get-out-of-jail-free card when it comes to demons. We are the high-priority targets, so you better find out how to deal with them. It's just horrible when you hear people say, well, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that. Well, you're going to stay bound and you're going to get hammered. I'm sorry you can't believe it, but your ignorance is going to make you hurt and pay for that ignorance. And it's a shame, but some people just can't believe it. They want to be willingly ignorant, and they're going to smart for it. After 25 years of casting out demons, you better believe it. I don't have any problem believing in a personal devil and the fact that demons do infest not just the lost people, but especially the saved people whenever they get the opportunity. And boy, do they get a lot of opportunities nowadays. You know, it was a pretty foolish thing to tell Peter that he couldn't walk on the water when he had already done it, and he just did it for just a few moments. Well, after 25 years of casting these things out, don't try and tell me that saved people can't have demons. I'm sorry. It isn't going to work. You know, when a person is born again, confessing his sin and asking the Lord Jesus to come into his heart and save him, he is received by the Father, and salvation comes instantaneously in that experience of the new birth. You got love, joy, peace, and this initial logical things that have to happen. You've got to get rid of some baggage. But right then, if you get the brand new believer and let him know that he's got the authority in the name of Yeshua to cast out devils, you might see some changes made. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell and seal the believer as God's earnest, his down payment on that redemption. And that Holy Spirit of God, that abiding presence of the Spirit of Messiah, is guaranteed until the believer is redeemed at death, or if we're still enduring to the end on the last day at the last trumpet, when we will fly up to take our position to meet the Lord in the air. But the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit, in us, in the body of the believer. And it's a very special thing to have the Holy Spirit actually indwelling us. And you know, it's really an amazing thing when you think about it, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of the Holy God, who is so holy we cannot imagine it, that he would actually come to dwell in us. And this continues indefinitely, as long as the believer is still growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many sins of omission as well as commission that were part of every believer's life at the time of conversion. And some may go on without even being noticed for months until the Lord deals with them. But the Holy Spirit is able to coexist with those unconfessed and undealt with sins. And we know this is true, brethren. So why is it so difficult to accept the fact that the Holy Spirit is able to coexist with the indwelling demons until they're detected and hated and renounced and cast out in the name of Yeshua, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it so difficult for people to believe that? Strong delusion, brethren. It is strong, strong delusion. There's a bondage-breaking prayer on the website, and I believe every believer should go through that prayer probably once a week, just like taking a shower, because it kind of gets everything under the blood. And it wouldn't hurt us. I don't think you could possibly overdo that prayer. It's just a short prayer, and we're going to go through it now because it covers the bases. It takes back about 90% of the ground the demons might have to be in you. And once that ground is taken back, then you just say, get out. in the name of Yeshua, by the power of the blood of Yeshua. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed by the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. And one more thing I want to tell you, brethren. You don't need to have a great deal of in-depth knowledge about deliverance or anything. When in doubt, just shout, blood of Yeshua, blood of Yeshua. Get in the habit of saying, blood of Yeshua, blood of Yeshua, blood of Yeshua. Like, yes, you are God. Hallelujah. Because when you say blood of Yeshua, three totally debilitating things blast upon that demonic consciousness that may be attacking you. Number one, they were totally defeated almost 2,000 years ago. They are going to hell. There is nothing that they can do about it. And they were really stupid. And they don't like to be reminded how stupid they were, because had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So let's go through this bondage-breaking prayer right now. Just say it with me. I'll try and go through it slowly. And no matter how many times you've done it, it doesn't hurt to do this one over and over and over. Lord, I repent and ask your forgiveness if I am now or ever have dominated or controlled anyone contrary to the perfect will of God. In the name of Yeshua Messiah, I now renounce, break, and loose myself from all domination and subjection to my mother, father, grandparents, or any other human being, living or dead, that has ever in the past or is now dominating or controlling me in any way contrary to the perfect will of God. In the name of Yeshua, I now renounce, break, and loose myself and all my children from all psychic heredity, demonic bondage, occult bondage, psychic bondage, bonds of physical or mental illness and disease, and all curses upon me and my family lineage as a result of sins, transgressions, iniquities, occult or psychic involvements of myself, my parents, my ancestors, my spouse, parents of my spouse, their ancestors, and all ex-spouses, their parents, and their ancestors. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. In the name of Yeshua, and by the power of the blood of Yeshua, I rebuke, break, and loose myself and all my children from all evil curses, charms, vexes, hexes, spells, jinx, occult powers, psychic powers, witchcraft, sorcery, and hypnotic influences that have been put on me or my family lineage by any person, occult source, or psychic source. By the power of the blood of Yeshua, I command all connected and related spirits to leave me now in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.